Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it. Phoebe Maltz-Bovey, senior editor at the Canadian Jewish News, co-host of the Bonjour High podcast and the Feminine Chaos podcast, and contributing columnist for the Globe and Mail. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing, Jesse?
Back to the beach with Justin Trudeau. He's been in Babylon for too long. Welcome to Shortcuts, where we talk shit about the news.
Justin Trudeau feels your pain when it comes to the affordability crisis, and he's showing it by, well, going on a luxury vacation.
So Trudeau's office is clarifying that he and his family, including Sophie and the kids, everyone's down in Jamaica, at, quote, no cost to taxpayers.
Justin Trudeau's vacations have sort of come up annually since he became prime minister. This most recent one, sort of a $10,000 a night freebie was it Jamaica?
In Jamaica. Yeah.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's recent vacation required a second aircraft after problems with his government plane.
Does this bother you?
Does it bother me? It's, I guess, pretty low on my list of concerns, I would have to say. Jesse, does it bother you?
You know, it's been a tough year for JT, some family drama. It's been a tough year for everybody. Probably a tough year to run Canada. Like, have a vacation, right? What? Leave the guy. Like, he went to the conflict guy. He said, is this a conflict? He did his due diligence. He's trying to keep it together. The ex was there, the kids and their mom trying to make it work, recharge. Don't you want a well-rested prime minister who's got a nice tan?
I would like Justin Trudeau to have a nice tan.
It's very important.
Sure, that's important to me more than this story. Yeah, I think, so I come at this as an American, also a Canadian, but an American of longer standing. And I just think about Trump, and I think about all that Trump has done and the great likelihood that he's going to be president again. And then this just looks like the absolute smallest potato you could imagine. Which makes me think this is like, there's something kind of quaint about it, but it also, we've talked about ways where Canada maybe isn't looking so great relative to the States in certain specific areas. But here, you know, if this is the worst that's happening, does not seem that corrupt to me. This doesn't seem like it. If it's indeed corrupt at all, it just doesn't seem like, I mean, I think I'm not going on such a vacation myself, and I share this sort of populist, I wish I were on this vacation. It's probably stressful, right? He is there with his ex. Like, that's probably not the greatest time.
It doesn't offend me. It doesn't enrage me. It's not corrupt, but it's so dumb. How can he be this dumb?
Must be a really nice vacation. Must be a really nice place.
Like, he's down in the polls, like, severely hurting. There was an element. It's not corrupt, but he told the Canadian press that the family would be covering the cost of the vacation. You could be forgiven if that led you to believe that he's paying for his own vacation and not getting a $7,000 a night freebie from a friend, which is, that's nice. I got some gifts from friends, nothing like that. But it's not like this is like a big surprise. In 2019, he got shit for going to Florida and flying back to Ottawa on the government's dime for 21 hours. Also in 2019, I went to Costa Rica and everyone raised an eyebrow when they found out that it cost $200,000. The Trudeau family paid for $57,000 of that. Then, of course, he went to Tofino. Nothing wrong with that. That seems like a nice local vacation. But he did so on the first ever National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. There, of course, was the 2016 trip to the Bahamas to Aga Khan's private island, which, A, cost the government $215,000, but was then determined by the Conflict of Interest Commissioner person, but I don't remember. It violated four sections of the law, the Conflict of Interest Act. And then in 2022, bad headlines again for a luxury resort stay. The economy is in the shitter and people are not going to look like kindly on this trip. To give him some free advice, which I've just been doing very generously, the real price tag that I want to know is how much are we paying all the advisors? Because this is like better advice than he's getting and it's free. stay away from costumes and vacations. No more costumes, no more vacations. That's all. That's all he needs. Like, if he does that, he'll be a lot further ahead. Phoebe, what would have been a safe vacation for the Trudeaus?
I just keep thinking of the 30 Rock line where Alec Baldwin's character says, I need a vacation from this vacation.
I need a vacation from this vacation.
Because that's just for some reason stuck in my head now. A safe vacation.
You're Justin Trudeau.
I'm Justin Trudeau.
You're stressed out. You'd rather not have everybody talking about this right now.
You could do a staycation.
That's what I did. It's actually great. It's actually all of the stress of getting there, but maybe the Trudeaus don't have to worry about that stress, but you're just immediately relaxing. Canada's wonderful. That, you know, there wasn't a lot of snow on the ski hills, but, you know, if you go, I'm sure maybe in the Rockies. How about ice fishing? How about everybody piles into a station wagon and it's a road trip to Florida? Nobody could get mad about that. Bring Sophie.
Oh,
sing-alongs.
In the car with the ex for all those hours, I'm sure it would go.
You know, they're skiing outside of Ottawa, Calabogie. The Trudeaus could have gone to Calabogie, maybe.
I don't know anything about, apart from what I studied for the citizenship test, don't know much about Canadian geography. I know there's Montreal and Toronto. I'm sure there's other stuff too, and I'm sure it's lovely. And Justin Trudeau, why don't you go check some of that out?
Phoebe, it's your first time joining us here at Shortcuts. You may or may not be aware that we do not like it when important news stories go unread or unnoted, so we duly note them. Have you brought something that you can duly note today?
I have. I'm going to duly note the complete collapse of the Toronto public library system.
Oh, please do.
Many, many months, you basically can't use a library. You can enter a library. So it's not like during the pandemic where you couldn't physically always go in. No, you can go in, but you just can't get books. Basically, the whole system for borrowing books is kaput because of some sort of cyber attack. Although why this is lasting for so many months, I don't know. It started, I think, in October. We're now in January. You can't borrow books. You can't go to your online account to figure out what you've checked out, which means that everybody just probably still has the books they checked out initially. You can check out books, but they have to write it down. It's some weird system where basically now if you go to the library, there just aren't books in it in your local branch. It depends where you live, but like in our local branch in Ronsey, like the kids section is basically cleared out. And who knows whether those books will ever return. Who knows whether the whole system will ever come back? I really hope so. They were saying January. It's January. I don't know. I personally have been impacted in terms of just like bringing little kids to the library, but also doing research. I'm writing a book. I need to get books. And where are books? I don't know. Not in Toronto. And I think this has bigger implications, though, in terms of just knowledge, if you talk about misinformation. So I wrote about this also for the Canadian Jewish News in one of my columns. But basically, like, if you want people to be getting their news from somewhere better than TikTok, and to understand like the history of the Middle East or whatever, if you can't get a book, that's going to be a little limiting. So I think this has bigger implications apart from my day to day. Wouldn't it be nice to take a novel out of the library feeling? But it would. It would be nice. So my plea is that people care about this, that the media does a bit more on this too.
I think it's sad that we have to even like explain why libraries matter. Like it's a crucial part of public life. The cyber attacks have just wiped out our system. It's to remove that. And it feels again like another piece of civil society of just like the parts of our shared universe that matter.
And going on really unremarked. I feel like this is not a really hot topic.
Duly noted. I want to duly note a couple more things about Middle East coverage. So often in Canada, we're in these fights about how we process and how we headline and how we discuss other people's coverage. And we're just not hearing like the journalism that for me matters most, the eyewitness accounts. And I have to hand it to Front Burner because they had a recent episode where they interviewed a doctor who was doing emergency medicine in Gaza. And the episode is called Life and Death at a Gaza Hospital. It is a hard listen. It is visceral. It is, I think, important to bear witness to what is happening. This is a Syrian Canadian doctor, Anas Al-Qassem. And it just seems thorough, informative, and it has that urgency that eyewitness accounts have. And it's important to not forget that that is the source of the story at the moment. And I'll also mention another story that I had trouble getting through, which was the New York Times Screams Without Words, How Hamas Weaponized Sexual Violence on October 7th. There's been so much denialism about the use of rape and sexual assault as a tactic of war by Hamas. And this is a thorough account. It took a long time, maybe too long, for this to be written down, but I want to duly note it because there are still people who want to deny that this happened. It is hard to read. It must be read.
Duly noted.
That sure cuts. Phoebe, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Jesse. This was great.
We're on Twitter at Canada Land. My email address is jesse@canadaland.com. I read all the emails that you send. Phoebe, where can people find you?
They can find me on, I'm going to still call it Twitter because I can't do the X thing, at Bovie Maltz there. And yeah, I guess that's probably the best way to reach me.
And your podcasts are Bonjour High and Feminine Chaos. Check them out.
Right.
This episode is produced by Aviva Lassard with additional production by Caleb Thompson. Our managing editor is Annette Ajofor. Our editor-in-chief is Karen Pugliese. Theme music is by So-Called. Syndications by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca.
Good tree not to grow. Can't tell the summer not to go. If there's one thing that had I known. Can't get blood from a stone. People, they change. When I meant to stay the same. Not to snow. If there's one thing that I know, we can't get warm from the cold. And my heart's breaking. Maybe that's just how they made. It's just how they.
CJSF's meet and greets are back. Connect with the staff and volunteers of CJSF 90.1 FM and learn about opportunities for you to make radio, review arts and culture events, write content for our website, uncover hidden gems and new releases in our library, and more. January 25th, Making and Hosting Radio, an introduction to CJSF's Programming and Public Affairs Department with Robin and Jesse. February 1st, Arts and Entertainment. Learn about interviewing artists and reviewing live events around town for CJSF with Nat. February 8th, Music. Discover how new music gets added to the CJSF playlist and explore our library of over 90,000 records with Connor. Join us on Thursdays at 4 p.m. at CJSF, room 1420, first floor of the Student Union Building on the SFU Burnaby campus. Hope to see you there.